Where are we going?
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, that's either a lie or he knows a whole lot more than we do. I mean, it's sort of that simple. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Everywhere, in all ways, at all times. There's never a moment, there's never a second when we are not walking in triumph in Christ. You understand? And which maketh manifest or open the savor of his knowledge by us in every place, at every time, in every circumstance. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? How could we possibly understand it? How could any human mind understand what I've just said? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. For those of you who've been here a while, you know that that word corrupt there is a technical term in the Greek, which means to add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. As a wine merchant who is adding water to the wine so he can make more money. To corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ everywhere, always, in all times, in all circumstances. One of these days, you're going to get that anchored so heavily in your mind that you will stop paying attention to your sensory perception with regard to your Antichrist response to stimuli. Everywhere, in all times, in all places, speak we in Christ, in all, of all, by all, for all. You understand, the only reason that you can feel poor me is that you want to feel yay me. God will use everything in this universe to show us the mystery. There is nothing that he won't do to the flesh in order that we might see. Or do we begin to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? In other words, Paul never feels a need to commend himself or to justify himself. Paul really didn't give a shit whether Bible study went good or bad. They speak of the world, therefore the world heareth them. You can bet you are in error when you are judging your circumstances by the same standard of the world, as the world does. You know the Antichrist has taken control. Whether that means judging how many people you have coming to your Bible study, whether that means judging whether or not they understand or not, whether being happy because someone accepts you or being sad because someone rejects you. Am I communicating? If you're sad because someone is rejecting you or happy because someone accepts you or your words, that means, from a spiritual standpoint, that you are requiring a letter of commendation in order to justify your being. And by definition, your heart needs to be ripped so that the circumcision will be of the heart, and your praise is not of men in any situation, but ever and always only of God. You are at a point where deception is really possible. How do I know? Because I've been there. You are at a point where you will define your success or failure based on someone's response to your words or your presence. And it's the most dangerous of all positions in the spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We haven't gotten to what I'm going to talk about yet. For as much. I cannot get used to Rex being there and you being there. I mean, every time I want to make a point, I'm about to, it just automatically, it's a liturgy. I turn over to pick on Harry, and there's Rex.
People changing seats.
Yeah.
That's good. Brooklyn's written.
For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, fortunately I didn't write it. Hallelujah. I can't take any of the blame. Ministered by us, or produced by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. In other words, this may surprise you. But it would have been impossible for me to lay hands on you if I didn't trust you. Now some of you don't yet know that, so you don't yet trust yourselves. The gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. I laid hands on couples of people, and I didn't give them. As far as I'm concerned, Doug and Denise are still teaching a group. It can't be taken back. You understand? No matter how weird it seems to anybody's flesh, no matter how impossible it would be to try to describe that, there are certain issues that I must face alone. I cannot confer with flesh and blood. And no matter how much that hurts, may hurt your feelings, I cannot confer with flesh and blood with regard to marriage. I cannot confer with flesh and blood with regard to divorce. I cannot conflict with the basic issues of the doctrine. I haven't, nor will I. All right. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. In other words, I don't believe, whether you believe this or not, I don't believe that anything I said has come from me. That's a mind-blowing thing. You know what else? I don't believe that anything you have said comes from you.
That's even more mind-blowing.
I knew it was. I thought I saw it. It's all your freedom. Fault, Larry. Like everything comes from Larry.
Who has made us able ministers. Able ministers means fully equipped to be stewards of the mystery. Able ministers. I've spent 12 years doing one thing, no matter how much I tried not to do it, and that is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We are now set up. We have the priests, the Levites, the deacons, we have people, we have situations, we have arenas, we have places in which we can do the work of the ministry. Now, you may not know this, but you haven't really started yet. You know, in Bananas, in Stealth Group, we spent a whole bunch of years just sort of spiritually jacking off.
Slam dance.
Well, it means, oh, I'm going to sit here and talk about your problems, and we'll sit here and talk about my problems.
That's what we do in my Bible study.
I know. It's called spiritual masturbating. But there will be a point, and I'll tell you very soon, that you must begin the 3-year cycle. Now, hopefully, it won't take you 18 years to complete it.
What do you mean 18?
But that is so endemic to what we are about. It's the 42, it's the mystical 40, it's 3.5-year cycle, it's 42 months. It's the reason, it's the certainty, and then seeing it, that he, you know, it's over and over and over in the New Testament, that he opened unto them the scriptures and showed that he was all the scriptures.
Amen.
But you've got to understand, some of this, you know, foreplay is necessary, it's milk. But all of you are able ministers of the word. Do you understand me? Now, the only format, if you will, of the word is the most ancient of all formats. It's why it exists. It's Torah. And it's completed in 3.5 years. Now, the reason it's taken us so long to complete it is because there were so many things that we had no knowledge of. It was part and parcel of this thing about us coming into stealth, coming into as a... We had to break through so many things, come to basic understandings of so many areas. We're still not there. We've got to finish... Once we finish the offerings and we've finished the meaning of the tabernacle, then the rest of the 3-year cycle is duck soup. I finished the 3-year cycle. And in my judgment, we can't go back on it in terms of a routine until we understand the offerings and we understand the meaning of the tabernacle. When you understand that, then you are equipped, fully equipped, to go through that process. That's what you will do, as long as I have any say in this body. Now, I'm not, we had years and years of spiritual masturbation. You're not going to have that luxury, so get it all over quickly.
Fast drugs.
Yeah, go buy a vibrator. All right.
What's the matter here?
who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious, or far more glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And that exceeding in glory is the transfiguration. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, if I have a candle in the dark, it looks wild and wonderful, or a campfire, or a searchlight. But if the sun comes up, you can't even see the searchlight, or the candle, or the campfire. Now I keep telling you that we have not hardly begun the process, and I mean it. But we are very near. We are very near where God can say to the world, the flesh, and the devil, now let the games begin. You understand me? What we are about is so far greater in glory than anything the world has yet seen, that anything that you have yet even imagined in your experience or in your imagination, that it will so blow away your little trips, your little feelings, your little emotions, your little shit, that it won't even be worthy to be compared. Now, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now, the context there, it means that seeing that we have such great hope, or such a wonderful, marvelous hope, this ministration of a glory that exceeds anything that you've ever dreamed about. Ministration means stewardship. Ministration means having the keys to the kingdom. That what you shut is shut forever. And what you open is opened forever. That's your heritage. The keys of the kingdom, mind-blowing concept, have been given to you. Now, there's some conditions on those keys right now. One of them is you have to put up with me. But you still are in possession of the keys. And my role now is to so totally blow you away that anything less than that glory becomes so untenable, so unpalatable, that you will vomit it up and never return to that vomit. I'm talking about every possible conceivable stimulus that can come into your life. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I have for 12 years been constrained. Well, God's about to take the chains off. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. In other words, the ministration of the law, when Moses saw the law on the mountain, he was so changed internally that there was a physical glow to his face that scared the pants off anybody that saw him. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Torah, which veil is done away in Christ. Larry asked why it has taken us so long. It's taken us so long because your hearts are so hard. And we're going to address that in a minute. This is all preamble. What?
Well, don't blame me. He was probably thinking of the... No, he was probably thinking of it already.
What?
I said, you were probably thinking of it already. Don't blame me.
You're right. The whole platoon has to take a lap because Ferguson answered the question.
Thanks, Clark.
Feel my heart softening already.
Even unto this day when Moses is read, the Torah is read, the veil is upon their hearts. I'm not just talking about the nation of Israel, I'm talking about the world. Nevertheless, when the heart shall be ripped by repentance, by turning, by softening, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. It's taken away by ripping of the flesh. Just like the veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. So the veil, that's the call over your heart, is being ripped. And God will use all things to cause that to take place. Now the Lord is that spirit, the spirit that causes the rip. And where that spirit is in nature, in you, in the world, when it is joined to the spoken word, to the rhema of God, there is nothing on the face of the universe that can stop it. It makes the super collider that's proposed for Ellis County look like a slingshot. All that's been happening in this body for all this time is that veil has been rent slowly but surely. Every single one of you, most of the time, are still living in law. You still are the computer banks by which a stimulus confronts you, and it automatically goes into this thing you call the Antichrist, the mind. I call the Antichrist, you call it the mind. And you go up and down and search. They're pretty high-speed computers. And you search for the proper response to that stimulus. That's law. And because of that law, because of that time frame that causes that search to take place, you have no liberty. You have no spontaneity. You have calculation. You have no abandonment of self. You have reflection. You have introspection. You have mind talk. You have this ridiculous concept where you do the same thing. It just doesn't go through one aspect of the bank. It goes through, what do I think about this? Some of you, it's so dumb, it goes to, what does Holy think about this? Then it's really, and then what does the doctrine think about this? Then it goes over and says, what should I feel about this? What should I think? You know, I mean, it's just abject stupidity, and it's called law. you sit there like, you know, it looks, go look in an office building, go look at one of the papers, and there's just rows and rows of computers. Well, and there's little people sitting at the computer doing stuff. Well, just take those little people out of the way and you'll see you. You're just rows and rows of computers that have all had the same programs initiated into them. All you've done is replace the program of quote-unquote the doctrine with the program of something else that you've done. You've tried to lay on top of this mystery that we've been delivered into. You've tried to make it a series of behavior patterns that you have to search out the proper response for various stimuli, and you have become boring. And so you, the moment there's the boredom, then you run around and, oh, well, I don't think I should, you know. Oh, poor me, oh, this is going on, oh. Do you understand? You are simply a hunk of protoplasm whose only function is to explode second by second, to give everything to the now, to be careful for nothing, to abandon yourself with totality, to give no importance to this. Anything less than that is the law. Now, some of you are so stupid, you've replaced the only law that can give any kind of a revelation of where truth is with the traditions of your fathers. And that's the law. Or the traditions of your mothers. Or the traditions of this world and this time point and this time frame. And the really dumb ones among you have tried to replace it with what is Oli's law. If you want to really piss me off, continue to do that. Because you make the cross of Christ of none effect and you worship me by your very ways of thinking. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, now we're going to come to where we are. Now, the veil has been rent. Now, we with open face, beholding as in a glass at every point, at every time, in all ways, the glory of the Lord, are changed, are metamorphized, are transfigured into that same image from glory to glory. We can only from now, from this point forward, proceed from glory to glory. Understand? But law has to die first. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass. That means that up till now, we have been looking in a mirror. And that mirror is called the law. And you've responded the isolated self with every stimulus that confronted you. Your relationships, what you've called fellowship, the concepts of your stupid protecting of this group, it's the evidence that you're in the wilderness. That this group becomes your God. The only reason you do that, that's fine for a while, but we've been in the friggin' wilderness for 12 years. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed. Why? Because we see. When we see Him, we shall be like Him in every arena, in every condition of life. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same glory, the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what is going to take us away from law? What is going to so shock us Let's go to Romans 7. Do you all understand me thus far?
Yeah.
Anybody that doesn't understand? Okay. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions or activities of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should now serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. There's a singular reason. Because of the hardness of your heart. It's because you desired law so much, God had to show us what the effect of law was. Tell me what lengths God won't go. It's impossible for God to deal with us as individuals unless we're in Egypt. Once we've left Egypt, then we are a body. When you desire law, the first thing that takes place is that you must, by definition, then be concerned with self. You understand? The moment you are concerned with self, then nothing of the flesh can meet your standards. It's the second law of thermodynamics. It could just as easily have been John and Joycena. Could far more easily have been Gary and Judy. Could just as easily have been Larry and Pam. Tom and Darlene. In fact, if I were God, I would have done it totally different than this.
I agree.
But now we had a mystery take place. And Sunday afternoon, we had a tribunal meeting, according to the ancient law. And I sat down. And I saw that the resurrection of the marriage was impossible. And on Sunday night, we buried it. It was killed. The baby was killed. Died Sunday afternoon. On Sunday night, it was buried. If you can for a minute get your stupid eyes off yourselves and see what God has done to show you the ridiculousness of continuing in the law. Now, the law is dead. You have been married to the law, but because of the hardness of our hearts, God had to take a couple and cause us to see with the senses what that meant, what being married to the law meant. And now it is dead. Now you don't have to be married to it anymore. You never did have to. Understand the implications of this? Are you sure? Who's going to be next? If while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Simply a typical, fleshed out version of what it meant to be married to the law. The law. It's all of you, all of us. The law means, and you've got to understand what it means, you've got to get down to the deepest part of your being, so that there is no calculated response to a stimulus, no matter what it is. So that there is pure spontaneity. Anything other than that is law. Some of you have no idea who you are. You have never had an honest response to a stimuli. It's always been passed through the gods of your fathers. You understand? You've never once had an honest emotion. You've never once had an honest response to a stimulus. Don't sit there like bumps in a log if you don't understand where I'm coming from. Where is the real you? How many layers of plastic have you covered over the truth with, so that that diamond can't shine? The instant you reflect upon a response to a stimulus, you've become an anathema. Some of you don't even know you reflect on it, because it's so ingrained in your being, you are so married to the law, that you have no idea what I'm talking about. You think you've been you, but the you have been is this Antichrist, this child of the devil, masquerading as you all these years. And this child of the devil has all these neat emotions. And all these neat feelings, whose end result is always on the kingdom of self. As long as the kingdom of self is happy, is satisfied, Satan is happy. If it benefits you to do good, you will do good. If it benefits you to do evil, you will do evil. You see how basic? That's not you. That's not the you that God died for. That's not the you that can participate in the covenant. the you that can participate in the covenant is a genetic you who is a right of priesthood and kingship by birth, not by performance. It doesn't matter what that right, that king did. He is king. He is, it doesn't matter what that, it's genetic. Do you understand? Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always, in every place, at every time, you can't make a mistake. Can you ever get that through your silly heads? You're establishing the custom, not following it. We are creating a culture, a nation of priests who own all things. Your response to stimulus isn't defined by some previous being. From now on, you respond. Your response is the law. You are the law incarnate. Who's going to be next? Unless your hearts are soft. We have reached a point where the slightest point, hint, tint of the law within you as a being will cause you to be subject to all of it. We have left all childish things. We have entered the promise. In the promise, you are a nation of priests, of kings. The king doesn't really care what somebody's response to him is. Now, faith demands something. We are proceeding from glory to glory. We can only produce the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to work it up. If that tree is a good tree, that's all it can produce. The law, we've seen what it can produce. We've visibly seen it. Let me read it one more time. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my beloved, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions or activities of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. You see that it doesn't matter which letter you have been following. It's still the oldness of the letter. The newness of spirit is an ever-flowing spring of living water that cannot be ever, ever used up. The waters that are used in the rites of purification had to come from an ever-flowing spring of living water. let me. You realize something? That if I would have said Sunday night, I mean, do you understand that? I was that close. Can you see what it means to stop serving in oldness of letter? It doesn't mean trying to memorize the scripture. It means the letter that have, it literally probably means the alphabet. Instead of the newness of the rivers of living water.
You know, I keep thinking about something you said the other night. You said you may never, ever again in your life respond the same way to the same stimulus.
Twice.
Flowing water doesn't.
And you may never look at the outflow. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. For we are always the sweet savor of Christ unto God. Never can be anything else. Why? Because of genetics. Not because of performance. Now start being it. You know, you've doubted it, you've hoped it, you've believed it, you've known it. Now be it. Now let rivers of living water and mercy pour from you. Let it spill over and touch every place that you touch. Every stimulus that you're confronted with. You don't hurry through where you're disregarded. You don't stay where you're welcome. It doesn't matter. For you now are a true Jew. Your heart has been circumcised. So you no longer require the praise of men. Your praise is of God. It doesn't matter with anything we ever think. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's a different life. You're now, you know, I mean, it's total. You can only teach the people that you are teaching as far as you are. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's time to stop, to begin residing permanently on the mercy seat. And that only exists in one place, the New Jerusalem. Now don't let the terrible thing that took place with regard to Denise and Doug have to be repeated. I hate it. I may dust everybody. Serve no longer in the oldness of the letter, but the newness of the Spirit, with the spontaneity and grace that is Him. Life is like, you know, tambourine or whatever the hell that thing is. I mean, each one of us are a string on, and it's got, and if a tambourine can't be tuned, as long as there's all kinds of these little, or anything, an instrument can't be tuned as long as there are nodules on it, and somebody stuck bubble gum all over it. And, well, all we've been through thus far is the strings are being tuned. Do you know that, you know, there's an article in the paper that talked about synchronicity, or the rhythms. That everything in life has a rhythm. And psychologists are now, you know, taking pictures of dinner parties and such in different parts of the country and slow motion photography, I mean slowing it down and analyzing the rhythms of speech patterns and gestures, and the whole rhythm of fork lifting and knife cutting and all that kind of stuff. And they found this wild thing, that there is a rhythm to everything. And they found, you know, this may be the cause of racism, because in different parts of the world, different arenas, there are, the rhythm is different.
They got more rhythm, we're jealous.
I knew somebody's going to say that. But what happens is, it's like in New York, it's a faster rhythm.
It's hyper.
And so in the South or in the West, it's a slower. So even in the space between the words. And so in the South, in gentility, they speak slower. But if you do that same style in New York, somebody will come and step on your sentence speaking. You'll think they're interrupting. They're not. It's just their rhythm. They're innate. It's not something they chose to be. All that we are doing is we're knocking off the bubble gum and the crap off the strings of the 10-stringed instruments so that we can play the new song, or the song can be played on us. And that's what marriage is, and that's what fellowship is to have those same stimulus make those strings vibrate in purity.
That's true.
But anything else, the reason that you feel when we're out of fellowship is it's discordant. Mm-hmm. Well, the wild part of it is that to try to make it of one accord after the flesh, you'll make it so, what you'll do is you'll put bubble gum on all the strings so they don't move. There's no vibration. So you just become a bunch of dolts. But God wants us to sing the new song. And once we sing the new song, then we will be in harmony with the Spirit. And that harmony will shake the world. I mean, I'm talking really shake it. It'll shake it to the point of causing it to vibrate and therefore causing it to be destroyed. That's all that's been happening, more and more and more, as those nodules are being knocked off the 10-stringed instruments so that we can praise them on the psaltery and the harps and the 10-stringed instruments. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.